I come from trying to adjust a bit to a new environment, so we're doing our best. I come from County Mayo originally, spent a long time in Germany, and I'm over and back a lot now, but I was born in Toledo, which is, some of you might be something familiar with Anthony Rathby. And he was born in my father's field, you know, at the back of our house. There's a stone there still where his birthplace was. And I got to know an awful lot about the tradition of travelling and the travelling bars and everything through my uncle, Tim MacDonald, who lives in Castlebar. He came to our house every Saturday, and he'd take me out and he'd take across the hills. And we drove across the hills, and he told me all about the legends and the stories and everything. And I found it really fascinating. And Rathby had gone to live in Galway, and he was blind, and all the stories of how he had left Toledo and County Mayo and things like that. And I used to be fascinated by these tales. Later I got to hate poetry at school and everything, like most people. But I had remembered somewhere deep in the subconscious this notion of travelling. And I ended up doing another. I was writing a residence at Cool Park in Galway, where Rathby had spent the last year of his life in that area in eastern South Galway. And I found it somehow almost providential that I should end up in that end of the world. I dedicated a poem to an uncle of mine, this one who told me everything. And he told me about my great-grandfather, who had translated Caledon, the great poem, Caledon by Rathby, and given it to Dr. Douglas Hyde. So he was the first person to translate this poem. And so a lot of fascinating things. His name was Paddy Conlon, and he's mentioned in this poem. There's a couple of other things, High Fort, and Caledon is okay. But Paddy Conlon is the person, Paddy's graveyard, mentioned here. And this is called Door Through Time. This particular uncle was timid, with a slight limp that must have grown out of sadness. He was a teacher, but not in that way. He used to climb down into our stolen wilderness, and among centuries of involuntary tales, he'd stand on the hill. We listened to the victims of the Pooka peer into Stephen's cave under the High Fort and on down to Thady's headstone into Laydon's graveyard by the river. In puddles, among the rushes, under the Easter moon, I saw footprints of a poet. He'd often stand long, as if trapped in something far away. As he had come, he went, screaming, his voice only half used. Those hills and bushes, though smaller now, thinned out. Thank you. I came back from Germany a number of years ago, and I remember being in Dublin and hearing people talk about all these gypsies and strange people who come to the country, and one Wexford newspaper had even written that they had been stealing spuds in the field. So I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. So I went back to Hamburg, I remember, a few days later, and I was cycling around on my old bike, and I came across, I was cycling along a graveyard in Hamburg, and I came across this section of the graveyard with huge, big, high tombstones, and I cycled over and wondered what they were. There was a man putting fresh flowers all around them. I said, what are these, and who are you? He said, I'm Gypsy. I thought, oh, fantastic. So I got off the bike, and we sat down on the headstone, and we talked for about 2 hours, all about the Gypsy tradition. And I was talking about Ireland, and about where I come from, and the stories I'd heard, and he said, listen, he said, we're like everybody else. Bank managers rob people every day in the week, sell their business to people that don't pay their taxes. He said, we can sell carpets to the Turks, but that was it, but they can. So there was a great, we had a great chat for a couple of hours, and I went back to my flat in the afternoon, and I wrote this poem, and it's called A Gypsy Woman in Ireland. These days in Ireland, people talk about the price of sight, the cost of tribunals, property abroad or foreigners, refugees. Lazy people come for our riches who won't work. They steal, eat raw from our fields, blacken our reputation, and colour the skin of our children. I am Sonia, a gypsy woman who dreamed colours and grew up gathering berries in a village in Romania. I earned my way to university to become a doctor and the pride of my mother's heart. My father never had a nation and died in Auschwitz. I was arrested with a bundle of leaflets, and when I had to flee to Ireland, I was sad, not to be a doctor, not to visit my mother's grave, to marry an Irishman. I have never stolen. I am spring clean, soft, strong, proud, and honest as the memory of snails and owls in our desolate garden. I fled when a sneering bullet ended my mother's life. She died at the mean will of our fate in our house, in my place. Now I can only shelter behind my husband's curtains in a kind of a fourth-floor flat before closing time in Dublin. I still see my uncle's blazing with his shining fiddle and shirt sleeves. My husband in Ireland, you gave me my first passport and beat me daily for the sighs and secrets in our troubled death songs. Like Irish songs, for my childhood and fields, for our hopes, falcons and silver, for the poetry in our people. I should be able to talk in the shop, but they listen away from my accent. I cannot tell them of our winters, of our trees whistling like the shades of accordion music. I have learned to hide behind candles in churches, to disappear into the woodwork, or to listen to the distant patience in the singing of my ancestors. Homeless in Romania, homeless in Serbia, homeless inland, homeless in Germany, homeless in the East, homeless in France, homeless in Italy, homeless in the West, homeless in England, homeless in Russia, homeless on the coast, homeless in Bulgaria, homeless in Albania, homeless in the North, homeless in Europe, homeless in the South, homeless in Ireland. The flowers have gone out on another summer. I'm a year closer to my mother.
they're looking for a taxi driver in Budapest. And that's where my sister lived for quite a while as well, and it's always a kind of shame that they never managed to get it, unfortunately, because it's a bit like, there's two cities there, there's Buda and Tech, and she's always had to go over, and I never actually got time to for 3 years, never managed to visit her. But in the story, anyway, you hear about, again, it's another consideration twist and the hardships of setting up home or setting up life in another country. And there's two pieces of music that I kind of put behind them. One of them was written by a friend of mine, based on a kind of Hungarian rhythm up in Clare, called Kolokoski. So that's what you hear the first time. And the second piece you hear later on in the poem is that Tom Waits song, which, well, you probably know about Tom Waits. Legendary late nights and hookers and spoons playing clubs and so on. But I just kind of, just to me, it started to synthesize the whole idea of setting up home or camp somewhere else and just utter desolation, really, you know. So, not a very cheerful poem, but just, we'll get to those later on.
They usually aren't very cheerful. This is called a taxi driver sale in Budapest. And I've been to Budapest a few times, I did a couple of residencies there. And a taxi driver was driving me to the airport one day, and he began to just chat about people leaving and going to the States and dying to get off the promised land so they can make lots of money in America. And I began to put the phone together, and it took me a while, but this is what I came up with. And this is called A Taxi Driver's Tale in Budapest. People used to say, day sounds, night shades and music vibrated just beyond the last house on the last street of the last estate. It was easier in America, they said. There would be freedom to eat the biggest burgers and ladders to the sky. People became kings and queens in the kingdom of the blue. You could lie high up at night and listen to the clatter of stars. Your fingers strummed on their own, far from exhausted workshops, limping trams, and unwholesome playgrounds, or from the wisdom of Mulner, Kessler, or Petrovsky. The tragic ghosts of Dionysius, even satire and fur, would be old pain in blue America. The new news was far from the tear-stained comedies of the East, and Woody Allen lived like a rich sin in the jazz clubs of New York. Janosch, Judith, Thomas, and Gabriella left tall buildings and European ways for narrow beds in a city that never sleeps. Their parents' faces hung like Hungarian woods, and snow lay deep on railway tracks on the memories of 1956. Their friend, Zoltan, came too. They got a room in Brooklyn where they kept a photo of children hurrying to a music lesson in costumes of the homeland they left, to find an outlet for snarling blood. They hunted opium pools, backstages and deep clubs for something strange in the bones and fantasy of America, for snatches of rhythm, and made this dark blue world their own. They slept between shards of daylight, lost sight of ancient city rituals and the works of Bartok. They were insomniac, gyrating like legends in exile. Nobody granted them a place to play and sing of cobblestones and lost railway tracks. They scurried about with a bag of dismal quavers to give day and night some sense of order. One winter, Zoltan bought a gun to get some music back. When he failed, he traded gifts from a great city on the Danube for money before walking out into blue America.
The first one's called Dancing Inside, and I haven't any names for the festival yet. Okay.
London, the When the sun lifts its head like a bread knife above the trees of Victoria, and farmers scratch their heads at the antics of the selfish rain god, the Yarra opens one persistent eye and closes it, not caring for silt on South Bank. Its curves are green enough to take the rush of animals and trees drinking for their lives. This old river knows its place and leaves other things like poetry, landscaping and love to those who can't live without. I like the sound of the Yarra. If I lose my sense of place and my way in the wind, I look up. That's it. I look up. Autumn. Autumn in Melbourne is a time for silence and simple living and slow pulse and karma. If I could, I would try to describe the morning as it caught me at Glen Waverley, or the very different set of words it takes to paint trees that don't change from green to brown and yellow. They gladly house animals that never struggle with hibernation or give up eating. It rained in great lumps the other night, and yesterday rough grasses were fighting for the right to be called green. You walk softly in such a climate. There's no reason to rush. The air doesn't let you. You wouldn't stop. Look at a postcard of the snowy mountains, a ring of a slow train ride to Mildura. At Port Melbourne, a cooler breeze was blowing up from Tasmania. The moon lay on its back. I buttoned up, walked up Bay Street, all the way to Flinders Street Station to catch a train to my home for now. We return the road we had come, richer in silence and gentle names like Wallaga Lake, Umbara Village, Tilda Tilda, Artura River. I'd seen rainforest nursed like a rich uncle in a posh part of town. I'd walked 90 beaches, alone except for the company of old gum trees, dancing like skeletons on the many shades of late afternoon tide. I feasted my heart on isolated tin-roofed farmhouses and gave up counting cattle on the plains of Victoria. The old bridge at Genoa sends tribute to those who fought bureaucracy to save it. There are fire-blackened trees fighting back and old stumps defiance of war heroes. I felt like one of the living as the streets of Melbourne rummage for life to guide us home. If I lose my sense of place and my way in the wind, I look up. That's it. I look up. Thank you. Because you've been very good and we've all been moved around. And this is the very first time. First of all, we have to take things from all, don't we? Paul Casey, thanks a million. He's been very peaceful in the way, all kinds of terror, but we managed to survive it. I do a lot of work in school, in primary school, secondary school, every kind of school that moves, that's bread and butter. This book here, Boxes, is all about working with kids in school. I used to be a drama teacher, and I used to spend my time going on to festivals and things like that. And you'd open a box door, and the kids all dive into the box. Two speakers, they want to do the backseat. So I said there's a type, there must be a backseat type. A kid who was a bit like I was when I was in school, always dive for the backseat and wanted to get the middle finger of the car behind, and on the nose, and all the stuff, and punch and fight, and get away from the teacher, and all that stuff. And I call the thing backseat kids. We won't go on much longer now because we're going to stare on everybody else, but we just read one or two more. And this is called backseat kids. The backseats in our classroom are scratched, written on, and the dates are loose. Front seats can never be backseats, and backseats can never be front seats, they just can't. Backseat kids are kept in more often. They wear baseball caps sideways, try to be cool, and stick chewing gum under. They spend a lot of time out at Mr. Brinsley's store waiting to be called in for throwing a school bag over the fence with a small child's lunch down the toilet or spilling paint in the art room. But school backseats, cinema backseats, the bus backseats, all backseats fill up first because backseats are backseats and the action is at the back in the backseat. Yes. We are the backseat boys, backseat people and backseats are cool. The best seats are backseats, the backseat kids and kids from the backseat. Yes. It's great old fun, you know. And I'd read one other short piece about kids. It's a bit unfair on everybody else if we keep going, you know. But then I was listening to a bunch of girls one day, kids, and they were in the fourth class about, and they were chatting about the teachers and about the way they dress. And like, you can't win if you're a parent or a teacher. You have no chance. You're just completely out, you know. Like if you're only 21 and a parent, you're dead, you know, you have no chance. So anybody imagines that they're going to be a bit original and the kids are going to look up and forget. You can't wear a decent costume at any time after once you become a parent. But anyway, or a teacher. So this is called Teacher Dread. We girls in the fourth class think our teachers dress badly, look weird, like parents. We don't want to mention names, but our principal doesn't polish her shoes. And Miss Smart, the tall teacher, wears funny jeans and sandals with grey socks. A friend's mother saw her coming out of the pub, singing, and carrying a hoop she had won playing poker. One gender pale lady paints her nails, wears too much lipstick, and likes disco and movies. She looks cool, a bit impractical, like a parrot or somebody special. Our favorite teacher is a man. He wears yellow ties and looks tired in the morning. He's not married. The pale lady and the man with ties look nice together. We see them talking in the car park this evening after school, but they drive home in separate cars. That's sad, we think. We realize it's not fair, maybe, on people who didn't come easy to their poetry to persist to it. But myself and my good wife, Joanna, we're up in County Dublin, and we went down for a long weekend, so we brought the tent for us. We took our away for a weekend break. We had the old tent, and we went to Dublin Beach, and we were rushed around the beach, or it was a thing in Dublin. So when we were coming out, you could see rows of houses everywhere you looked. And the only thing that was different were often the name of the house. And you thought to yourself, the houses are all in straight lines everywhere you look, and individuality only came off with the name. And so I began to think about this, and I thought about the listening. And so I wrote down all the names of the houses I could possibly see along the road, and then I made up a kind of a litany. And it came out, and it was called A Litany to an Irish Housing Estate. Blessed be the names of God, blessed be the names of home, blessed be Anna Livia, blessed be Dunkin' Castle, blessed be Barry Garden, blessed be Dave in the Woods, blessed be Bob the Builder, blessed be Bretton Woods, blessed be Brookside, blessed be Cabin View, blessed be Cushtraw, blessed be Dewsbury, blessed be Dewdrop, blessed be Divorce House, blessed be East Wind, blessed be Ellesmere, blessed be Fort Granite, blessed be Kandahar, blessed be Anna. Blessed be Laurel's Lodge, blessed be Laurel. Price is proof of value. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Blessed be the woman who stuck a note to a lamppost requesting a call from a man who had caught her eye on the very same spot the previous month. Blessed be Miss View, blessed be Marat House, blessed be Maple Lodge, blessed be Maple, blessed be Midgard. Blessed be Hildegard after work, blessed be Millennium House, blessed be Mount Cabot, blessed be Pine Cottage. Blessed be the echo of a lost childhood when a mother refuses all food and vomits from the hope of finding a trace of her image in a cool mountain stream. Blessed be Ringdong, blessed be Rose Hill, blessed be Sally Brook, blessed be Sally, blessed be Sandy Ridge, blessed be Santa Maria, blessed be School Uniform, blessed be the Pine, blessed be the Pine. Blessed be the Willow, blessed be Thorn Lee. Blessed be the grave of Jack the Bachelor in the old village. Blessed be door colours, doors indoor, pub doors to peep, back doors to the terrace, front doors to the town, like sliding doors to the Joneses. Price is proof of value. Knockers too big and small knockers in blue. So many same knockers with knock on effect. I knock it off and blessed be ye all knockers. A tidy man in row 7588-2000 and after 8 jumped out of his window into a straight jacket in one term of his bank manager's fee. Monday after work is all Tuesday after work is all Wednesday after work is all Wednesday after Ophelia is all. Thursday after work is all Friday after work is all Friday after past the postman is all. Saturday after breakfast is all Sunday afternoon is all. Blessed be my car only, blessed be my drawing only, blessed be my car porch only, blessed be my car bullet only, blessed be my affairs only, blessed be my patch only, blessed be my gold patch, blessed be my best car only, blessed be my stigma only. And the God and seeming agents and spirits bless him above all. In the Irish countryside, there are so many rows of houses, you could forget to have a line of your own. Stand up and have a little while.